Good morning to each one of you, and it's good to be here, and as I consider the topic at hand this morning, I think you, each one of you, would have more to say than what I do. A little bit about my life. I served in El Salvador, and I actually served in obligatory service, not voluntary service. My parents consented to go to voluntary service when I was 11 years old, and of course I went along. And Noah Beachy, for those that you know him, was chairman of AMA at that time, and I turned 16, and he said, when you're 16, you're eligible to be a volunteer, and we were there 1 month. So I served 1 month as voluntary service in El Salvador. The rest was obligatory. As 11 to 16-year-old, when the children in the orphanage went to do something, I was not an orphan. I didn't go along. When the youth and the workers and everybody went to do things, they went and did their thing. I wasn't a worker. I didn't go along. So I can teach you how to pick oranges and mangoes and hoe corn and milk a cow and do all those things. But having said that, it's a blessing to be here. And my involvement with ASAL and your interest in there and in business, and the Lord has orchestrated our lives and involvement with that. And if you have any questions about ASAL, if you want to get technical, ask Willard and Roman, ask the executive committee. But if you have a question and think, what about this one? Then ask Ken or myself and a board member. So I didn't tell you, Roman. I got a call yesterday. I've been talking to Roman, and we're thinking of investing, but my wife wonders, how secure is this? What can you tell me about ASAL? So that's the kind of thing that board members do. And I think I put him at ease. I think his wife will feel comfortable about it. At least he was ready to hang up before I was, so I might have put him at good shape. So business seminar, and practical advice in building sustainable Christian communities. How many here have or do own your own business? Raise your hand. Okay, 98.5%. Very interesting. That's kind of high for 7%. So here, I guess Anabaptist, what you mentioned last night, Roman, that's interesting. I just like to know the group I'm talking to. It'd be interesting to hear from each one of you what brought you here. I've asked you a few of you that. What was your interest that brought you here? Thank you for your answers. And, you know, personally, ASAL, helping Christian brethren to have a business that can support themselves and to be within ministry. And with the culture change that we live in, and I've heard this comment in one of the models that Roman brought out last night, is the supported missionary in an area, and the people in church say, well, yeah, I can be a Christian if somebody from the U.S. would support me. And so I appreciate that. And the model that is coming forth in that sense, I, like probably many of you, have answered that question that, I'd like to start this little business. I need $5,000. Would you help me? And so you give them $5,000 to start your business. And you apply that whole rule. If you don't plan to just give it to them someday, then don't lend it to them. And that's the way it goes. And so the ministry of ASAL, and one of the biggest questions that I receive about ASAL is that how do they get their money back? And my answer is that if you treat these men like fellow businessmen, he says that's what they are, and they do pay it back. And that's definitely a whole lot more honor than if you just give somebody. You actually diminish someone when you just hand it to them. I have a friend that lived and grew up in Puerto Rico, and he tells me that the U.S. ruined Puerto Rico. They had an industry of farmers. They had industrious people. And when the U.S. made it a territory and they offered the welfare program, and these people discovered they can make more money sitting at home on welfare than going out and raising corn, they sat at home. And so the book's Toxic Charity, and the list goes on, and you can get involved with that. Back to practical advice, sustainable, in building sustainable Christian communities. Want to look at a few scriptures and hopefully bring us to a little bit of an understanding on that. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. There were two men walking on a beach in California, and it was the moon was out, and they were talking about it. And one looked at the other one and said, "Which one's closer, the moon or Florida?" And the other one looked at him, "What do you mean? We can't see Florida from here. It must be the moon." We get things turned around at some times, and we wonder, what is the path of thinking? You and I know their path was totally absurd. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, this is Jesus. "From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" We have here in Jesus' own words the beginning of his message. I, for many times, many years, thought that this meant that Jesus said, "Repent, that heaven is ready for you." I, for much time, thought that it was just that as we repent, the kingdom of heaven will be ours. And we see in verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." If we take Jesus saying apart, and the first word is repent, and I think we understand repent. Repent is a change of life. It's a 180-degree change of direction. We turn from the sin that we were in, we make a change, and we follow the Lord. And that's an experience that the Lord in his grace accepts every day, every morning, however it may be. But repentance is like, I tell somebody at home, "I'm going to Pennsylvania." Okay. Their next question, "What are you going to do there?" Repentance is going there. Where do you end up at? And in repentance, as Jesus was talking about it in the setting here, is we end up in South